Greetings. Good to be with you again. I say again, my mind goes to, I'm not sure when it was that I was here preaching. I was here for a couple other ordinations and so on, but it's good to be here. I was blessed with the service. The song leader gets up and talks about holiness. And happens to be, I'm going to be preaching on holiness. So I said, okay, God is in this. Sometimes you say, is this what I should be sharing or not? But, and then Moses speaking about, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Seems there's something within us that, if we're right with God, we want to please God, put it that way. There's some times when if we're turned away from God, we're not thinking about that. But you know, even if we're in that place, God does speak to us. And he has a desire that we have a relationship with him. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So our Father in heaven, we come to you. Just now, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence with us here. Pray that your blessing would be upon us as we look into your word. Just pray that you would just open it up to us, help us to understand it, and that we would be able to see what it means and be able to apply it to our lives. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm planning to look into the Old Testament and see, get a sense of what holiness meant in the Old Testament. And maybe we can get a little broader or a little more of a hold on it, what it means. Having said that, what do we think of? What do you think of when we think of holiness? Maybe that's a quick one to spring on you, but what is your first impression when we think of the word holiness?
Be like God.
Okay. Was there
pure?
Okay.
Set apart.
That is the direction we're going. To be set apart is to be holy. And when a person is set apart, he will live a righteous life, which is a lot of, we think about holiness, we think about purity, we think about living rightly. So righteousness, being set apart will have the fruit of righteousness. Holiness, we will be righteous. If holiness is where we're seeking to go. And God does say, be holy, for I am holy. He does ask us to be holy. So it's a good thing to think about. What does it mean? Ephesians 5:1 says, be followers of God as dear children. Be imitators. Imitators of God, as dear children. We know how a child wants to imitate his parents. So let's think about that. How, as dear children, we can be imitators of our Heavenly Father. Another passage says, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter. So some of those things you be ye holy, be ye perfect. It seems like a big, you mean even as God is? That's a pretty big thing to strive for. So what is holiness? Let's turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah and chapter 10. And like I said, you're going to see, we're going to take a look at holiness and see how that the concept of being separated is how that, that's what we want to look at. Nehemiah 10, verse 28. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe to do all the commandments of the Lord our God, the Lord our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes, and that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. I think I'm going to stop there. They went on into some more of the ceremonial things there, but I'd like to notice a few things. Back in verse 28, all the rest of the people, what's that meaning? We are at the return out of Babylon. That's what the setting is here. And these are the ones that were back in Jerusalem, I believe. The rest of the people. All they that had separated themselves from the people of the land. So they were now back in Jerusalem. They had separated themselves from the other people. They were mixed with others. Now they separated themselves. And another point here, separated from the people of the lands, and then it says, unto the law of God. So you're turning away from and to. So we'll keep that as a backdrop. Away from and unto. Now, in the Hebrew, there's four words that are four Hebrew words for the word holy. I don't know. I'm not a Hebrew or Jew or whatever to say these, but they're very similar. Quadash, Quadesh, Quadask, and Mikdash. So, the first one is to pronounce or observe to be as clean, sanctified, consecrated, set apart, hallowed. The next one has to do with a sacred place or thing, sanctity, being set apart, sacred place. The third one, to be a holy one or a saint is also, that's the third one. The fourth one is a consecrated thing or place or sanctuary. Consecrated thing or place. We are the temple of God. That was a blessing to look at that. So dictionary definition, a life set apart, reserved to give glory to God, a life of discipline focused on and giving attention to matters of righteous living. So let's look at some examples in Scripture of these four different words. First one, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. God had just finished the creation, and he pronounced the Sabbath day, a special day. Verse 2, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day and from all his work which he had made. And verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it. He set it apart from the rest of the week. It's 6 days, but the seventh day is a special day. Sanctified, set apart. It was the holy day of the week. Turn to Exodus 3 for the next one. Going to be doing a lot of looking at Scripture this morning. Exodus 3 and verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Holy ground. The spot where we were standing was a sacred place. Holy ground. Set apart. It wasn't just any normal piece of ground. It was the place where he met God. God met Moses there at the burning bush. Let's flip over to chapter 19 of Exodus. Exodus 19 and verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. A holy nation. Now, let's think about it a little bit. Well, we'll save that for a little later. Holy nation. Israel was a holy nation, set apart from the rest of the world. Chapter 29. Just giving you a picture of some of these words. Chapter 29, verse 31. And thou shalt take, let's see. Okay, the end of the verse. Thou shalt take the ram of the consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place. This is another example of that word. Now, let's turn back to chapter 15 of Exodus. Chapter 15, verse 11. This was part of the song of after they were through the Red Sea. Verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth a people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. So there we have the word sanctuary in verse 17. The Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. Now, I didn't dig real deep here. It may be having a reference to heaven itself. It could be sanctuary there on earth. I'm not real clear on that one, on this place here. But it is a place that is set apart. Heavenly place or earthly place. It's a place that's set apart. Chapter 25 of Exodus. Here it's talking about the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a sanctuary. Verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. And I guess we could read more here, but that's the sanctuary, a dwelling place, a place that was set apart. This is where we meet God. This is not just a normal tent. This is a sanctuary. Now, the command that we have in 1 Peter, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," is taken out of Leviticus. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus 11 and verses 44 and 45 is where the quote is. "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Now, it's interesting that this is right in a chapter that talks about clean and unclean, what they were to call clean and unclean. So I've been pondering that some. It was the thing of being clean and unclean. If you think about what God came to in the clean and unclean, can we say that all of the unclean was not fit to eat? Was it a clean and unclean thing as far as was it good to eat or not? Not necessarily. There were some things in there but God made a line. This you may have and this you may not. And I've been pondering that as a picture. How ready are we to say, here's a line. We're going here, but we're not going here. Follow what I'm saying. This is holiness. A picture of holiness. Flip back to chapter 10. Verse 8. Nadab and Abihu were burnt with fire because they had, what did they do? Offered strange fire before the Lord. So they transgressed. And then the Lord spake to Aaron in verse 8, saying, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy. There's the challenge. Let's make a difference. This is holy. This is unholy. This is clean. This is unclean. That ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So, looking at that, the clean and the unclean. Here's another interesting thing. Noah did not have the law. He did not have what Moses gave as to clean, what's clean and unclean. How did he know which animals were clean and which were unclean to take them onto the ark? Anybody have an answer? I'm just answering a question. But clean and unclean at that point, I believe, was more to do with what was acceptable for an offering. That's, I believe, what, in Noah's case, this was a clean, okay to be offered. These we're not going to use for an offering. Here, maybe there's a step further in when Moses... Yeah, it was a step further because they were not supposed to eat of it. In Noah's case, it was the offering. Here they included the eating. But why all that? I'm not sure. But the thing of being able to draw a line, God said, this is good and this is not. This is holy. This is not. Clean? Did it mean it wasn't dirty? We know that's not the case. It was set apart. Ceremonially, it was... This was okay and this was not. So, set apart. When we're born again, we become saints. Okay, does that mean everything is perfectly taken care of? Or when God looks down at us and calls us saints, it's because of Jesus and what he has done for us. And hence, we are saints, we are holy. Now, living a holy life, living in that state, is going to produce righteous living. So, so being clean or unclean, holy or not holy, that is a challenge. There's a verse somewhere I was looking. We're to make a difference, like we looked at in chapter 10. But it's chapter 11. We didn't look. There we go. It does not have it. Verse 47. To make a difference between the clean and unclean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. I'm looking for a verse, but I'm not seeing it. Maybe we'll come across it. Now, let's think about God and, first of all, God himself. God himself amongst the gods is a holy God, right? He is a God that's not like any other. He's a holy God. He is sacred. If there ever is a saint, God is a saint, if you want to call him that. Set apart from other gods. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Set apart. God looked down and he chose Abraham. Abram. Here's a man that I'm going to set apart. And there's some things that some reasons God did that. I know him that he will, how does it go? Command his children after him. But God picked Abraham. He was a holy person. Saint. Just using some of these terms. Abraham. So the children of Israel. Look at the children of Israel and look at the whole earth. The Jews were a holy people, set apart. They were different from the rest. Chosen. God looked on the children of Israel, and what did he do? He chose one of the tribes, the Levites, to serve. They were the ones that served in the tabernacle. Of the Levites, he chose Aaron and his family. Aaron was to be the high priest. So he was set apart from the rest. Let's turn to Leviticus 21. Aaron was a high priest, and here he's giving some specifics for the priests and for the high priests. Verse 6, they shall be holy unto their God. They shall not profane the name of their God. For the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God, they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman or put away from her husband. For he is holy unto his God. He is a priest was somebody that was set apart from the rest. Verse 8, thou shalt sanctify him therefore, set him apart, for he offereth the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I the Lord which sanctify you, am holy. And you could go on. Back up to the beginning of the chapter. They were not to defile themselves with the dead among his people. This is for the priests. But they were allowed, it's interesting, the priests were allowed to go to a funeral, you want to call it that, for his mother, or father, son, daughter, brother, or sister that's a virgin. They were allowed to go to a funeral for them, but other than that, no. That was defiling themselves. Go to a funeral is be defiled for the dead. Maybe that was handling the dead. Whatever it meant there. But then it goes over to Aaron. And he was not even allowed to go. Somebody see it. He is a high priest, consecrated, put on the garments. Verse 11, neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his own father, for his mother. So he was more set apart than the rest of the priests. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God. For the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. And it goes on. But I look at this and I say, clear lines. How am I? Am I drawing clear lines? Am I being, holiness? Set apart. Now, let's think about the tabernacle. Tabernacle was a sanctuary, a place to meet God. Let's go back to Exodus for some verses in about the tabernacle. Exodus 26. And verse 33. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the thatches, that thou mayest bring in hither within the veil of the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. So we had the tabernacle itself was a sanctuary. But you had the tent. You had the holy place, most holy. Between them they had a line. That most holy place was gone into once a year. And that with the high priest. And that was off limits. See the lines of separation. Chapter 29, verse 37. Now it's talking about the altar. As far as 7 days shalt thou make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, set it apart, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy, shall be clean. That's verse 37 down to 43. And the children, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. There was no other tent that had God's glory over it. It was separate from all the rest. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Just continue. This is interesting. Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. Drop down to verse 8. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. She shall offer no strange incense. Even the incense was something that was set apart. It was different than used anywhere else. No strange incense. And this altar had no burnt sacrifices, no meat offering, neither poor drink offering thereon. This was the altar of incense. And that was for incense, set apart from any other altar. This was the use for this altar. It is most holy unto the Lord, says in the verse, end of verse 10. Let's go over to verse 25. Thou shalt make, they were making an oil, an ointment. Thou shalt make it an holy oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. What did he use it for? They anointed the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, his laver and his foot. Thou shalt sanctify them. By using this ointment, it sanctified these items. Whosoever touches them shall be holy. Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. There we have the word consecrate. Same word. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. This shall be a holy anointing oil. This anointing oil was used for this specific purpose only. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any like it. Don't copy it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth anything like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall be cut off from his people. Clear line. And then it was, the next thing there was a sweet perfume. Verse 35, make it a perfume, confection of the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. It shall be most holy. Verse 36 and 37, as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to the smell thereof, shall be cut off from his people. I'm looking at all these things and I'm saying, holiness. Set apart. This is something that is not to be used in any way outside of what its intended purpose was. And what did we start off with? To make a difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean. Now, with that as a backdrop, that's the Old Testament. Let's go to New Testament just for a few. My title was Old Testament Pictures. Now let's go to New Testament, Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, it's a dwelling place, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, blood of goats and of calves, but his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. There's a word, sanctifieth. That's the being made holy. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge, there you have the word, clean, purge. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Purge. And you know what? The fruit. From dead works to serve. Set apart to serve. Second Corinthians 7:1. Chapter 6, the end of the chapter 6 is, once again, are we muddling things together? Or are we keeping things clear? Be not equally yoked together. What concordeth Christ with Belial? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, we put the phrase in here, be ye holy, for I am holy. As we are separating ourselves, God will be a father to us. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Isn't that exciting? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting that line of separation. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Peter 2. Familiar verse, but once again, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Out of and unto, out of darkness into light. Holy nation, royal priesthood. Are we being a priesthood? Think about how it was for the Levites. That was in a literal sense. How about us in a spiritual sense? Are we drawing that line? Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. That ye may be blameless and harmless. If we keep that line clear, we will be blameless, harmless, without rebuke. In the world, but not of the world. I like that phrase. In the world, but not of the world. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in a dark place. Hebrews 12, how does it say it there? Being the sons of God, 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And for closing, let's turn to Romans 6. Romans 6 and verse 16. Thinking about all these, the backdrop of what we've heard already. Now let's read verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members as servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof we are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May we have our eyes and our hearts awake and alert for anything that wants to pull us across that line. May the Lord bless you.